Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll turn there, please. And we are at verse 25. But I'm going to start reading at verse 20. We stopped at verse 24 last week. And beginning at verse 20, we see wisdom personified. And in contrast to sinners that call to us, we saw back in verse 10, he says, "If sinners entice thee, consent thou not." If they say, in verse 14, "Cast thy lot among us," in other words, sinners and sin is calling out for us to follow the ways of the devil, the ways of wrong. Then in contrast to that, beginning in verse 20, we see a separate call, and that is from wisdom. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she utters her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words to you, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded." Now we come to verse 25, where we left off. "But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof." And so here's wisdom crying out for us to follow wisdom. And so there are two paths that are presented to us here. And we choose the path that we're going to take. One is the way of wisdom, God's way, and one is the way of foolishness, the devil's way. And both are calling. We have within us the spirit and the flesh. When God saves us, he puts within us his spirit, but he doesn't take away the flesh. And that flesh continues to call out to us, and the spirit calls to us as well. Now, in the New Testament, wisdom is often referred to as Christ as well, because Christ, Colossians says, is made unto us wisdom. And so a lot of things we see when wisdom calls out, it's like Christ calling out to us. So in verse 25, wisdom is reprimanding those who have refused wisdom and says, "You have set at naught all my counsel." In other words, here's the wonderful counselor as Jesus is, and through his word, he calls out to us to follow him. And when people don't obey, here it says they have set his counsel as naught, that is, worthless. They don't want anything to do with the counsel that God's word gives to call and walk the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom is going to lead one place. The path of foolishness is going to lead another way. They don't cross. They don't eventually end up at the same place there. And the counsel that is given by wisdom here is advice to do right. He says, "All my counsel, but and you would none of my reproof." In our English language, it almost looks like they left out a word, doesn't it? We would say, "You would what?" Because we use it as a helping verb. And we wouldn't use a double negative, and we wouldn't say, "And ye wouldn't do nothing that I tell you to do." But notice over verse 10, the word consent. That word is identical to the word would in verse 10. 25. So when wisdom calls out and people reject the counsel, they are not consenting to go the way of wisdom. So whenever the call comes to us to either walk the way of wisdom or walk the way of foolishness, we have to consent. We have to agree to go, "I'm going to go this way or I'm going to go this way." And God has given us that free will to choose which path to take. But as I mentioned earlier, each path leads to a different destination. You can't say, I want to get to heaven and I'm going to take the path of foolishness, because it doesn't ever end up there. And so we choose our destinations based on the path that we take, and not just heaven or hell, but also destinations of God's blessings, peace and joy, contentment that comes from taking the right path. So let's look at some of the verses as wisdom continues to call out there. He reproved them. He says, you didn't consent to my reproof. That is, I gave you advice, don't go down that path. That path has stumbling stones. That path has pitfalls. That path has pain and destruction. Don't go that way. But did they listen? The fool did not. So verse 26, he says, and I, wisdom talking, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And so whenever they came to the choice to choose which path to take, wisdom or foolishness, they laughed at wisdom. And they would none of his reproof. And they went their own way and laughed and said, I don't want anything to do with wisdom. And now that they made that choice, we see wisdom laughing at them. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so they laughed and mocked, and now they're receiving laughter and mocking, derision, scorn there. Man can't have an in-your-face attitude against God, reject God and laugh at him and his word, and then expect to have God's blessings. It just doesn't work that way. And so here they end up being mocked. Verse 27 says, when your fear cometh as desolation. There, that word means to crash. You ever seen a crash with vehicles, with all the metal just folded together? What a mess. What about when the stock market crashes? Well, I don't know much about it because I don't have it's money invested in it. But you read about it, the stock market, that's a word they use, to crash. And it's devastating to a lot of people. Well, that's what it talks about here in verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation, a crashing there, and your destruction comes, your misfortune comes as a whirlwind. That's a very strong wind, like a hurricane. They're not one of these little sandstorms we see around here. He's talking about a very destructive whirlwind. He says, then when distress and anguish come upon you. And those two words together, distress and anguish, they refer to an emotional state. And so when these other things happen, of destruction and calamity and all of these things happen, people just become so destroyed emotionally. And whenever we choose a wrong path, we might think that everything's going to be okay. Well, that's what Satan wants us to think when we choose that way. But there's going to be emotional problems. There are going to be physical problems. There are going to be all kinds of problems whenever we don't listen to wisdom. And God continues to call out through his word, go this way, go this way, go the way of wisdom there. It doesn't mean that that path is going to have no hardships and no problems there. But we know when we walk the way of the Lord that he is always there with us, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us there. Now notice the then in verse 28. Then they shall call upon me. That is, when all the calamity has come and all the distress and anguish, all the emotional state is there, and they don't know what else to do, it says, then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So there is a time where people have gone past wisdom. There's a song in our hymn book, God's Final Call, there. And someday you'll hear God's final call, and then it's too late. And so he says here, some people are going to cry out for wisdom, but it's going to be too late. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, he wanted, he was in hell, and he wanted to go and tell his brothers, his family, but he couldn't. It was too late for himself. It was too late for him to help anyone else. And so there comes a time when it's too late there. Now verse 29 says, "For that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord." In my Bible, as I often like to do, circle words and draw arrows and things, because in my Bible, the word hated and choose are right above each other. Yours may not be that way, so it was easy for me to circle both of those words at the same time, because they really go together, don't they? You think about, they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And you think about things that you hate, you don't usually choose those things, do you? If you hate something, you avoid it. I mean, if I'm flipping through the TV trying to find something to watch, usually baseball is what I'm looking for, but there are other things there as well. If I see horror movies, I keep on going. I don't understand. Some people love to watch horror movies, and they like the thrill of being afraid, I guess. I hate horror movies. I don't want to see them. I don't, you know, whether it's Jaws, you know. I saw that a long time ago, and I don't care to ever. I don't know why I watched it. I just don't like that, and I avoid it. Things that we hate, we avoid. Foods that we hate. Most of you know I avoid anything with mayonnaise in it. You know, I just don't eat mayonnaise, and I just avoid everything that has mayonnaise in it there. But the things that I love, I'm attracted to those things, and I want more of those things, whether it's TV shows I love, whether it's food I love, the people around me in our church that I love. You know, we seek to be around the things we love. And so those two words go together, and we'll see that again in a minute. They that hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. And the things that we choose demonstrate what we love. The things that we choose to do, the people that we choose to hang around with, the places we choose to go, that is a demonstration of what we love. For the most part, now there's some exceptions, for the most part, people do what they really want to do. Now, there might be some things, you know, you might want to take a year off and just travel the whole world and might not have the money for it. But for the most part, we do those things that we want to do, and it reveals what we love, and it reveals what we hate there. So look at the verse again, 29. "For they that hated knowledge," so because they hated knowledge, they didn't choose it. "They did not choose the fear of the Lord there." And within us, as I mentioned earlier, we have the sinful nature, the flesh, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, does the Spirit and the flesh love the same things? They don't. They're at enmity with each other, aren't they? The Spirit loves those things that draw us to wisdom and closer to God. The flesh loves those things that satisfy self there. And if we have a hatred for sin, we're not going to choose that. We're going to avoid it. If we have a love for righteousness and a love for wisdom and knowledge, it's found in God's Word. They hated knowledge, and they didn't choose the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? We know the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But in this context, as we're looking, going all the way back to verse 10, where there's a cry from foolishness to go that path, and there's a cry from wisdom to go this path, then he talks about the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is simply tied to the choices we make. If we have a fear of the Lord, we're going to choose the path of wisdom. If we don't have a fear of the Lord, we're going to choose a path of foolishness. If we're choosing things that God hates, we're going the wrong path. If we choose the things that God loves, then we're choosing the path of wisdom there. And so a hatred for sin will cause us to avoid it. Here they avoided God's counsel. In verse 25, it says, you said it not, my counsel. You didn't listen to my reproof. They hated God's word, and they didn't choose it. So what we choose will very often demonstrate what we really love there. Now, verse 30. It's almost a repeat of the previous verse. It says, they would none of my counsel. That's the same word as verse 25 translated would, which, as I mentioned earlier, is the same word in verse 10 that's translated consent. So they consented not to my counsel. They despised my reproof. And so since they despised it, they hated it, they didn't follow it. We follow those things that we love. We avoid those things that we hate. And that dictates to us whether we're walking the path of wisdom or whether we're walking the path of the flesh. Verse 31. Therefore, and you've heard it said before, anytime you see the word therefore, you ask the question, what is it there for? Because it's tied to something previously there. So here's a consequence here. Therefore, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And so here they are producing a crop, that which is produced, the fruit that is there. And what do they produce? What do we ever produce? Whatever we plant, right? That's what we produce. So it says in verse 31, they're going to eat the fruit of their own way. And so the fruit that they wanted was happiness, contentment, and joy, and peace, and emotional stability. That's what fruit they wanted. But that's not the seed they planted. They planted other seeds, and so they started reaping calamity and evil and distress and anguish there. So therefore, they eat of the fruit of their own way, and they're filled with their own devices. In other words, they have devised their own way. They say, I don't like the way wisdom calls. I don't like the way God tells me to live. I think I have a better way. I have devised a better plan. And so I'm going to go my way instead of God's way. And whenever we choose to do that, we end up eating the crops that we don't like there. In other words, we are free to choose what seeds we plant, but we're not free to choose what fruit we eat. The fruit is directly tied to what seeds we plant. And so if we want the fruit of righteousness, then we have to plant seeds of righteousness here. And so here they are not just eating it. Verse 31 says they were filled with the fruit of their own devices, because payment in full is required. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God took our payment for us? He paid in full our sin debt. We planted the seed of our own way, of wickedness and disregarding God's word. And Christ came and he took away our sin and he placed within us his righteousness. And because we have received the righteousness of Christ, then we have some fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not artificially produced. It is natural from the Spirit of God. Now, verse 32. So, therefore, they're eating the fruit of their own way, because that's the way they chose. That's the seed they planted. 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The turning away This Greek word is very similar to and equivalent to the Greek word for apostasy. They have turned away from God. There's been no constancy to their living. They have had a life that fluctuates and back and forth, choosing the wrong way. And as a result of that, it says their prosperity, their security, and their quietness that they were seeking for, they don't have it. They have the fruit of their own way, and it is a lack of peace there. Satan offers prosperity, doesn't he? He says, come this way and you'll prosper, you'll be fine. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now verse 33, but here's the contrast. But whoso hearkens to me, and the me again is wisdom. Wisdom is crying and said, listen to me, listen to wisdom, hearken to me. And when you do, you will dwell safely. It is directly tied to hearkening. When we hearken to God and obey God and do what he says, then we have real security. We dwell safely. And false security is a terrible thing for people to think that they're safe. And then they find out at the end of their life that they're not, that they're lost, and spend eternity in hell. But God gives us real, genuine safety. When we hearken to God, we dwell safely. Aren't you thankful for the doctrine of eternal security? Genuine safety. Doesn't mean we can just live any way we want to and choose this path of wickedness there, because whatever seed we sow, that's what we're going to reap as well. We want a quiet life. Verse 33, it says, he shall be quiet from fear of evil. What was the other fear that we saw earlier? Fear of the Lord. Yeah, fear of the Lord. So, the fear of the Lord, and when we receive that, we are quiet from the fear of evil, that is, free from calamity there. So there are two ways that he points out here. There's the way of wisdom. There's the way of foolishness. There are two destinations, and both of those are tied to when you make that choice. And not only are there two destinations, there are two emotional states as a result of that. God says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Those who choose that path, they don't have peace. And the world is looking for peace, aren't they? And aren't you glad that God gives peace, even in the midst of all the, we listed a lot of different prayer requests, and we have physical needs and financial needs and emotional needs and all of these things, but God gives us peace whenever we are walking in the way of wisdom there, because that's one of the fruits of choosing the seed of righteousness. Now let's start chapter 2. We've got a few minutes left, and there's a change in chapter, but there's really not a change in the theme. He says, my son, and this is still wisdom talking, if, verse 3 says, yea, if, verse 4 says, if. And so here are some conditional statements. When you get to verse 5, you see the word then. And then in verse 9, you see the word then. And so just as we saw in the previous chapter, two different paths. We choose the path of wisdom. We choose the path of foolishness. There are consequences to each one of those paths. So right after this word if, which makes these next verses conditional, there are six conditions listed before the then. Let's look at the then before we look at the conditions. Verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. To really know God and find that knowledge and understand the fear of the Lord. If we want that, he says in those verses leading up to that, there are six prerequisites. And the first one is in verse 1. If you receive my words. And that's what salvation, that's where it begins, isn't it? Receiving God's word. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the fear of the Lord, the path of wisdom, begins at salvation, receiving God's word. A person who is unsaved can't have, verse 5, can't understand the fear of the Lord, can't have the knowledge of God, because they haven't been saved there. Understanding of the scripture comes from knowing God. That's the first condition, to receive the word. The second condition in verse 1 is, if you hide my commandments with thee. You hide things for safety, for safe keeping there. And we have God's commandments as a secret weapon. And Satan comes at us to attack us, and we can't fight Satan with our own flesh, with our own weapons. God has given us his commandments for us to hide and use that as a secret weapon there in choosing wisdom. So first of all, we receive his word, and then we hide it and use God's word, even as Jesus did when he was tempted in the garden there. Verse 2, the third condition is so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom. To incline means to, like those of us who have a hard time hearing, you know, you have to lean over, and that's what I do sometimes when we get prayer requests, because I have a hard time hearing. Today at that active shooter training we had, and the police officer was up there, and I was sitting back here with my wife about the sixth row. I said, I can't sit here. I gotta go up to the second or third row. So I had to go up closer so I could hear, and it helped some, but I still missed a lot of what he said there. So, but I was leaning over to hear, and that's what this word means here, that we are inclining our ear and we're listening attentively there. We don't want to miss one word of what God says. Sometimes I listen in that way with music. I love to listen to music, and you hear it, especially if I'm listening from my phone and my iPad or something. I got my earbuds in. I can hear a whole lot better when those things are right in my ear, because it blocks out all the other noise from around, and I can hear. And you hear every note. Can you imagine a judge, not me doing it, but judge judging music? We send our students oftentimes to fine arts competitions, and they're being judged, whether they're playing the piano or they're singing, and even with very little musical knowledge, I can judge between something that's really good and something that's off key. I can do that. But you know, if you have quality people competing, then you've got, I mean, there might be a real fine distinction between the two people, and you got to have a lot more than what I have to be able to make that distinction there. And so these judges have to incline their ear. They have to hear every note and listen carefully, and that's what we have to do to God's word. That's the third stipulation. Receive his word, hide it for safety, incline, lean forward, and active listening is a phrase we sometimes use. The fourth one is in verse 2, and apply thine heart to understanding. In other words, putting to practice what you hear. We have to learn to walk the path that God has already given us before we ask God to give us a new path. God wants to give us new things, but they don't come until we have learned to be obedient to the things that we already have. And so we apply those things that we learn. The fifth stipulation, before we get to the then of verse 5, is in also verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. What does that mean to do? Pray. Cry after knowledge. We pray and ask God to give us. Psalm 37:4 says, I will give thee the desires of thy heart. So we tell them to God. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him cry unto God. Let him ask God. Let him pray. And so that was the fifth condition. Receive his word. Hide it in your heart for safety. Incline your ears to listen. And then apply what you hear. Ask God. Cry out for wisdom. And then we come to verse 4. If thou seekest her as silver. And so not only are you asking God for it, now you're going to go looking, seeking in God's word as buried treasure, and search for her as for hid treasures. God's word is a spiritual storehouse. There are so many treasures and golden nuggets that are there. Someone has said that God's word is a house of spiritual truths, and prayer is the key that unlocks that house. And so he says in verse 3, pray, cry after knowledge, but don't do it and then keep your Bible closed. Pray and ask God for wisdom and dig into God's word, and his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, will guide you. And then, verse 5, here's the then. After we receive and hide and incline and cry out and seek and search, then, after you've done these six things, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And again, those things are tied to choosing which path we take, making decisions, decisions that are honoring to God and decisions that will bring about the desired fruit, because the fruit is tied directly to the seeds we sow and the path that we take. Let's pray. Father, it is indeed our desire that we understand the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord. That's why we've come together on this Wednesday night, one of the reasons, to pray and seek your face and bring our needs before you, and the other is to study and hear from you and to learn the wisdom of the Word of God. Help us that we might choose the fear of the Lord, that we might demonstrate to other people that we love the spiritual things because we're attracted to them and we choose those things, and we hate those things that seek to destroy us and separate us from you and your word and your spirit. So help us to avoid those things that you hate, that we might hate them as well, so that they don't hinder our walking on the path of wisdom. In Christ's name, amen.